I want to finish up with Tishrei. We have Rosh Chodesh coming up. This coming, it's Shabbos, or Friday Shabbos. So we have one more week of Tishrei to go. We spoke a lot about Yontif and Tishrei, but I want to talk about the end of Tishrei at this point. What's the end of Tishrei offer us? In the agricultural cycle, we mentioned this a little bit a few weeks ago. Tishrei is the time when things come around full swing. This is like the start of a brand new cycle agriculturally in Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean? Well, we know that Sukkot is called Chag Asif. It's the Yontif of the ingathering of all the grains. The Torah calls it Tufas Hashana. It's the completion of the year, Sukkot. And that means because last year's produce has been now gathered in for use. The way they used to do it was they would harvest everything in the springtime, they'd leave it in the fields to dry out over the summer, and then once it was dried out, they could put it into the silos to store it up for the winter. So Sukkot with the Chag HaAsif, they finally store up all their grains, everything is put aside for the winter, and they get to actually enjoy the wealth after all the hard work of farming which went through the entire year. Now the cycle begins once again for the coming year. So that's what happens after Sukkot. Sukkot is a transitional point. The cycle of last year ends, and the cycle of the new year begins. And so to the rain cycle, it's the same thing. The rain from last year what gave us all these crops. They had all this wheat from last year's harvest. That was from last year's rain. And on Sukkot, that's gathered in. And now the rain for next year begins after Sukkot. We daven Mashiv Rahman Geshem. We say Tefillah Geshem Shmini Atzeres. And then really the time for rain is the end of Tishrei and Cheshvan. That's the time for rain in Eretz Yisrael when the rain should begin. So we see this time of the year as the time of transition. On the Mirza Hashem, the rain now will come down in Eretz Yisrael. It'll make the ground fertile and bring next year's fruits for another crop of bracha for the coming year. That's what happens now when Tishrei finishes. We go from summer to fall, from the dry season to the rainy season, and last year's crop to the new crop. So Sukkot completes this cycle. It's the final end of the year. So excuse me for a second, I'll talk about Sukkot, even though it already passed, because it kind of fits into our discussion here. So you have to forgive me if I talk about last week's Yontif. It comes up again next year also, so we'll already have a mind for next year. But Sukkot is the final part of the year, in that it's the final Yontif of the Yontif cycle. Yontif begins in Nisan, and then you have Shavuos, or Shonim Kippur, and then you have Sukkot is the finale, it's the completion. It's, as we said, the Chag Asif, as you gather in the grains. And the Sefer Chinuch writes that the Dalan Minim, the point of it is that we should take the wealth that we've achieved, that we've accumulated over the whole harvest of the entire year, and we should take pieces of that harvest and use it to celebrate the Simchat Hashem. So you're trying to choose the finest of your crop, those beautiful fruits, the lulav and the esrog and the hadassah, and beautiful trees and beautiful leaves, and take all the produce that you've grown and all the wealth you've accumulated and take it and bring that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you celebrate and develop Simcha through the crops that you've grown. So Sukkot really serves that finale. As an aside, the reason we link Koheles and Sukkot, one reason at least, is because since we've just accumulated all our wealth of the year, we feel all high in ourselves. We feel wealthy. We feel that we have all of Olam Hazeh at our fingertips. So Koheles tells us, don't think that's what it's all about. Koheles tells us that Olam Hazeh, in its essence, is Hevel Havolim. And so if there were Kol Nishma, at the end, what has to be heard is purely Yiras Hashem and Mitzvos and Torah. So because we feel so good about Olam Hazeh and Sukkot, that we've achieved so much wealth over the year, we have to link Koheles to kind of put a little bit of a, you know, sober us up a little bit from our wealth. That's what Koheles is for. So that's the image of the Sukkot in the beginning of the new year. But I want to bring out a deeper point about how Sukkot ends the year, and then how Tishrei, at the end of Tishrei, begins a new year. I want to try to delve into that a little bit more. Yeah?
This thing with Yashan, is this going on now? I mean, when you said one cycle.
Ends. Well, Yashan really, that begins at Pesach time.
Yes.
I mean, the new harvest, anything which took root after Pesach, it has a din of Chadash. It only becomes Yashan after next Pesach. So that's actually part of Pesach, but not this time of year. So I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going back to the Sukkot again, the Nisuch HaMayim. And one of the most mysterious, avodas that we know the most, probably the one of the least about, and to us is a very strange avodah, Nisuch HaMayim. In Bais HaMikdash and Sukkot, they would draw water, and they would pour the water on the Mizbeach. So all year long, they used to pour wine on the Mizbeach. That was a typical karban. Oil would be involved in the flour offerings, the menachos. But water was poured straight on the Mizbeach only on Sukkot. It's a very strange thing to do. Just take, water doesn't seem to us to be so special. I mean, we know that water is important for life, but it's not such. When a guest comes over, you know, we enjoy drinking our water, but you try to bring out, you know, other drinks to a guest as well, because, you know, water is just water. But it's so, because we take water and we pour it on the Mizbeach Hashem. Why is that? And the greatest simcha of the year in the Beis Hamikdash was the drawing of that water. Simcha B'Sho'eva was when they drew the water from the well, and they brought it into the Beis Hamikdash and then poured it on the Mizbeach. What is this avodah, and why was it such a simcha, and why is it so important? So we know that rain is a symbol of life, and rain's a symbol of Hashem's bracha coming into our world. The connection of Shemayim and Aretz, we've mentioned before, is seen through rain. Rain is something that, you know, we can't bring down rain on our own. We need Hashem to give us rain. And our relationship to Hashem is symbolized through the rain. We know it says in Bereishis, we just read this last week. Didn't have much time to think about Bereishis last week. It came and it went. But it says in Bereishis, Kol siach asada terem yeh ba'aretz, all of the plants were not yet on the land. And all the grass had not yet sprouted. Hashem had not rained on the ground. Because there was no human being to work the land. And Rashi explains, because we had to daven for the rain. The rain was there waiting to come down. The crops were ready to grow. But until Adam could daven for rain, there would be no rain. That's what Rashi explains to us in Bereishis. So rain shows this connection between the human being and Hashem, the land and the heavens, and only with that connection does the rain fall. We know that Hashem tells us that if you do mitzvos, v'sati mitaratzachem, I'll give you rain at the right time. We see this in Shema every single day. And if chas v'shalom, we do the wrong things, that the heavens will close up and there won't be any rain. So rain is not just a nice thing that we get from the sky, but rain is a physical sign of the input of Hashem into our world. That's how I view it. Rain is a physical sign of Hashem's input into our world. That's what rain is. The Eretz Yisrael is a land where it says, Limtara Shemayim Tishte Mayim, that you will drink your water from the rain. Eretz Yisrael is essentially a pretty dry land, and they depend upon rain. Without rain, they're in big trouble. To this very day, they're in big trouble without rain. Whereas in Mitzrayim, it says, Vishkisa Baraglcha Kigan Hayorak. In Mitzrayim, they were able to water from the Nile. They had water at their fingertips. It was available. Because in Mitzrayim, you don't need to see the connection between Hashem and the land. But Eretz Yisrael is a land that's built on that connection. So the entire land of Eretz Yisrael is totally dependent upon the rain, which means they're dependent upon Hashem, 100%. And they see it and they feel it every single day as they try to grow their crops. Rain in Eretz Yisrael begins to fall, that's Hashem, after Sukkot, this time of year. This is the time, that's why we start saying Mashem Baruch Geshem at the Anshmini Atzeres. That's why we have to feel as Geshem. And the Mishnah tells us that on Sukkot we are judged for water for the entire year. Every single Yontif is actually a day of judgment. I mean, we think of Rosh Hashanah as a day of judgment. But the Mishnah tells us that on Pesach we're judged on grains, on Shavuos on fruits, and then on Sukkot on water. So Sukkot is the time we're judged for water, Shmini Atzeres we daven for water, and then from then on we say Mashem Baruch Geshem in Rosh Hashanah Esrei. So we see that water is a much bigger thing than just some rain from the heavens. Water is life, and water is the sign of how Hashem inputs His blessings into our world. However, I want to understand a little bit different of a point, for a different perspective. You know, our roles as Ovdei Hashem, we don't just rejoice in the rain. We don't say, thank you, Hashem, for the rain. There's something much more to that as well. When we accomplish and we succeed, whether it be that the world has lots of brachos, whether it be that, you know, our crops have been very, very prosperous, whether it be that our job has been prosperous, our lives have been prosperous. So we have a role not just to thank Hashem for what we have, but to give back to Hashem. Kevyachol. What does that mean? So it's a Mishnah in Avos. It says in Avos, Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa Omer, Ten lo mishlo, give to Hashem of His own. She'ata v'shelcha shelo, because you and yours belong to Hashem. V'chein b'David Omer says also about David HaMelech, Ki mimcha hakol, from you is everything, u'miyadcha nesanu lach, and from your hand we will give to you. So what it means there in Pirkei Avos is that everything belongs to Hashem. But Hashem in His chesed gives us so much in our lives to utilize, to enjoy, But our job is not just to enjoy it, but to take it and to present it back to Hashem in the proper way. So for instance, somebody is fortunate enough to make lots of money. So their job is not just to say, obviously the first step is to say thank you Hashem for the money, not to ignore Hashem. That's step one. But step two is to say, Hashem, how can I repay this money back to you? I can give tzedakah, I can help those who are in need, I can use it to do mitzvahs properly, I can buy the nicest esrog and the nicest tefillin, and I can buy the nicest food for Shabbos, and I can use the money for Hashem. So that in essence is taking the blessing of Hashem and then returning it to Him, as it says in Avos, ten lom you shall give to Him of His, because what you have is His anyways. Somebody is given a very, very sharp mind, so you can use it to learn and teach Torah. You can use it to run organizations which do good for Klal Yisrael and for the world. You can use it to innovate new programs so that people can grow and can achieve. Someone that has a lot of strength, physical strength, so it can be used to help others, carry things for events, do mitzvahs with that strength. Everything we have that Hashem gives us, we have to take it and give it back to Hashem in some way. So everything we have is really some sort of hashpah and influence from Hashem in this world. And our job is to utilize it for Him and return it to Him in some way. So if you look at this in a bigger perspective, after Sukkot, though, we've gone through the entire cycle. We've planted our seeds, it's rained, they've grown, we've harvested it, we've let it dry, we've taken it into the silos, we have our wealth. So our job at this point is to take that wealth and somehow return it to Hashem. So going back to what we said, number one, Dalan Minim, we said, is taking of the harvest and using it to serve Hashem. So I'm taking the wealth Hashem gave me and I'm serving Hashem with it. The sukkah is actually made, it says, Ba'aspecha migarnecha migvecha, that you build your sukkah as you gather in from the wine press and the threshing floor. And the Gemara tells us that tzchach is made out of the byproducts, the waste of the threshing floor and the wine press. You make tzchach out of just sticks and things which grew from the ground, which haven't been processed. That's what tzchach is, because you're taking your produce and using it to serve Hashem. So even not only is the nice produce that we have used to serve Hashem, even the waste products of the produce used to serve Hashem. That's what the tzchach is made out of. And this is the idea of Nisach HaMayim, the water offering in the Beis HaMikdash. The water, we said, is the influence of Hashem into our world. This is Hashem's blessing. So what do? We take that water and we dump it right back to Hashem. We're physically taking that water and dumping it onto the Mizbeach, which is probably the strongest symbol we have of taking the blessings of Hashem and giving it right back to Him. Saying, Hashem, we've taken your blessings, returning it to you. It's like a statement of mission accomplished. We've been through an entire year. We've been through the whole cycle, we've achieved so much, we've gained so much, we have so much bracha that you've given us and bestowed upon us, and now we're going to take all that bracha and we're going to try to return it to you in some way. And that's how I would view Sukkot, Nisach HaMayim. It's the feeling of mission accomplished. We've done it. We've made it through, both in the small picture of Yom Nerayim, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkot, it's a lot to go through, and we've made it, Baruch Hashem, and the whole year. And Sukkot is the culmination of the entire year in some ways. That's Tekufas Hashana, as the Pasuk calls it. And therefore we're saying, Hashem, the year has passed, we completed the job, and now we're here to return to you all the blessing that you've given to us. So the first half of Tishrei we view as a conclusion. It's the closure upon the entire year, the Yom Nerayim season, all the Yom Tovim, the agricultural cycle, everything comes to a conclusion in Tishrei. That's the first half. We then end Sukkot with Hoshana Rabbah, which is a day we daven for rain. It's the judgment of rain is sealed on Hoshana Rabbah. Shmi Atzeres is the day which we daven tefillas to Geshem. We start saying Mashiv Mori to Geshem. And when Sukkot is over, what we have with us is those terms, Mashiv Mori to Geshem. Hashem should bring us rain. Why? Because the end of Tishrei symbolizes a brand new stage in our year. It's a new start. It's a new start of the rainy season, which means next year's crop is going to begin right now. So Tishrei brings us the Ashpa from Hashem for the new year. When the new cycle begins, we're saying, Hashem, based on our Avodah, based on our Tfilos, based on the judgment you've given us over Sukkot, based on Rosh Hashanah, based on Shmini Atzeres, we're ready for the coming year's new blessings. Last year is now over, finished, mission accomplished, case closed, and now we look towards next year. A new cycle begins of both in the physical world and the spiritual world, in Gashmias and in Ruchnias. I saw some Sfarim point out that when we think about Hashem's blessings in our world, So Kabbalistically, Hashem's blessings, they filter down from Hashem's, you know, heavenly high place down to our world through many, many different layers and levels and worlds. Whatever that means. But it's described as when Hashem wants to give us something into our world, if you want to take like a mashal, it's not that Hashem like takes a cup and he pours it out and pours it out and pours it out to every single world, because then the previous world doesn't have anything left. It's like an overflow. That Hashem fills up the cup in the first world, it overflows out to the next world, it overflows to the next world. And really, when you see a blessing in our physical world, that means that all the spiritual worlds have also been blessed as well. Because everything filters down, it doesn't get spilled out, but rather it overflows from world to world. So we daven to Hashem, give us rain for the coming year. We're not saying just to give us rain, we're saying, Hashem, we want to see all the spiritual world as well be overflowing with blessing. So when I see physical rain, it also means Hashem is raining down upon us spiritual blessings as well. And that's Tishrei, our avoda, is to bring out the water for the coming year, which also means to bring out the spiritual blessing for the coming year. They go together. So going back to the pasuk I mentioned before, it says that everything was ready to sprout in our world. In Bereishis, Perek Beis. But the way Rashi explains it, it was all just beneath the surface, but nothing has actually sprouted yet because there wasn't any rain. So the pasuk tells us, Adam ayin la'avodas ha'adama, there was no human being to work the land. And Rashi sees that as a reason. There was no rain because there was no human being serving Hashem. There has to be a human being to exist and recognize the goodness of the rain for the rain to actually fall. The human being is put in this world to trigger the rain, as it were. The Adam is created in Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah was the creation of Adam. And that means Adam was put in the world that he's going to trigger the rainfall for this year and for the coming year. That's his job. And rainfall, as we're saying, it doesn't just mean physical rain. It means the spiritual blessings of our world also come through the human being. So this pasuk is teaching us that Tishrei is the time that we are trying to bring out the rain for the year. It's our job as the human being to daven, to serve Hashem properly so that rain comes. And the rain doesn't just mean water. It means all the spiritual blessings of the coming year are really based out of this month. So last year it was over, let's say, Sukkot time. And now next year's blessings, next year's rain are starting right now. So we're in the period of the year where we should be looking at a new beginning. You know, obviously Rosh Hashanah is a new beginning as well, but this is a new beginning on a much more tangible, physical plane. And that's our job in Tishrei. I would even suggest, the word Tishrei, if you look at the shorash of that, shoreh is to soak. Sure, when the Mishnah says that you should soak something, it's shoreh is to soak something. Tishrei is to soak. And the idea is Hashem should soak us. With all the rain of the coming year, we should be soaked. You know, we should be totally, totally enveloped by Hashem's blessings this coming year. That's what Tishrei is here for. So now, we spoke about Sukkot, so we can put that behind us now. But now we'll talk about, you know, looking forward at this point. The goal after Sukkot is Morid HaGeshem. That we're looking for that Hashem should soak us with rain, obviously, and with blessing, you know, in a healthy way. But we should be totally enveloped by Hashem's blessings in the coming year. The Shevet of Tishrei is Ephraim. We know that Yosef was divided into two parts, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim is the Shevet of Tishrei, Manasseh is the Shevet of Cheshvan. So we'll talk about Manasseh and Mirtzah Hashem next month. But what does Ephraim have to do with this concept of rain of Tishrei? And Ephraim is a Shevet that I feel represents very much the blessings of the water. And I'll explain why. If you think about it, you know, many Shvatim had to do with water. We know that Zebulun used to go out on ships. They were sailors, so they have to do with water. But I feel there's also something unique about Ephraim and the blessings that come through water. Not just that they went onto water, but more this idea of blessing coming out of water. So let's explain this. This is my own thought, but I think it fits. We know that Yosef is the father of Ephraim and Manasseh. So that means that whatever Ephraim is, his midos relate to his father, relate to Yosef. Yosef is somebody whose job it was to take what the avos created and then bring it out even more. What's the example of that? So Yosef's name itself means addition. Hosafa is to add something on. And many, many Sfarim explain that Yosef's role was to take everything the avos did. And his job is to kind of spread it out to the whole world now. Like Avraham and Yaakov accomplished a lot, but they were very, very focused and very local. Yosef takes that and he spreads it. So Yosef is put in charge of Mitzrayim, and he has to feed the entire nation. He's the Mashbir Chorus. He's someone who's there to support all of Mitzrayim, including his brothers once they arrive. But really, all of Mitzrayim, the whole world looked towards Yosef for food. So Yosef, on a physical plane, he had to feed everybody. In a spiritual plane, he was taking those blessings of the Avos and spreading them out to everybody. That was his job. The Avos established Klal Yisrael, and Yosef, he spreads this hashpah, he spreads his influence to the entire world. Yosef's children are giving a very unique bracha. We say it all the time. Hamalcha Goel Simi Kora, the famous Hamalcha Goel, that was given to Yosef's children. And the very last phrase in Hamalcha Goel is a funny phrase. It's a term you don't see used very often. V'yidgu la'rov b'kerv haaretz. So we say it all the time to our children, we say it ourselves, Kriya Shema Lemita. It's one of the most commonly quoted psukim probably in Jewish life. And that term, v'yidgu la'rov, is a very strange term. V'yidgu comes from the word dag, and means that they should multiply like fish. That's v'yidgu la'rov. They should multiply like fish. Fish is our model. And what's the idea of fish? And on Rosh Hashanah, we all said, Yihi Ratzon Shenifre V'nirbe Kedagim. We should produce like fish. So fish to us is a blessing of abundance, of being fruitful. Fish is our model. The concept of Piria V'rivia, of being fruitful and multiplying, was first said in Bereishis to the fish. We look at the fish as a model of multiplying. It's not just in the physical sense, they have lots of children, but being fruitful. The term being puria is to be fruitful. Being fruitful, we use that term in English also, which means to be very productive. So we see a certain level of like productivity or accomplishment or fruitfulness related to fish. And the bracha given to Yosef's children where they should be abundant like fish. That was. So if you hear where I'm going, we're talking about the month of water. And, you know, what is it that lives and thrives in water? It's fish. The name Ephraim itself, when Yosef names Ephraim, this is in Parshas Miketz. So the way that Yosef describes it, let's just read the exact pasuk. Ephraim's name, it says, V'shem Hasheni Kar Ephraim. The second son was called Ephraim. Ki Frani Elokim Be'eretz Ani. Because Hashem has Ephraim, he's made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Yosef had been freed from prison after suffering for many, many years as a slave. And finally, he's risen to a position of power. And he says, I have been made fruitful in this land. So fruitful doesn't mean he had lots of children. We only know Batuva's children. But fruitful means he's become very, very productive. But that same term we use for fish, the idea of Piri Rivia being fruitful, Ephraim's name comes from this term of being fruitful. And the same way we say Nifra, Venir Bekedagim, we should be fruitful and increased like fish. Ephraim is somebody whose essence is fruitful. It's productivity. That's who he is. So the Ephraim is somebody who's a recipient of this abundance of bracha we're talking about, of mayim. Rav Hirsch describes the idea of Yidgu L'Rov. Let's read it to you. Rav Hirsch says that the word Daga doesn't occur anywhere else except from the context of fish. But just as that fish does express the whole depth of the intenseness of Yaakov's blessings and the meaning of what it entails to participate in the fate of Yaakov, let me skip one second, in a different element, quietly, at a depth unreachable by the eyes of men, do fish live their lives. Thoughtlessly do people stand on shore and have no idea what a happy, fresh, joyful, undisturbed life goes on down below in rich abundance from generation to generation. So fish, they live under the sea. We don't really realize how much abundance they have. And the fish live very, very peaceful, undisturbed, he says, generation to generation in the water. In a similar way, the care of the aretz on the land itself are the doros of Yaakov, Klal Yisrael, should live and achieve their own quiet, happy lives in their own separated element, whither the world around them do not follow them, have no concept of what such a life means, like fish. So, in other words, he's saying that fish live very, very quiet, private lives under the water, that we don't see them, we don't know what they're doing down there. There's many fish that we haven't even discovered yet in the depths of the water. You know, science hasn't even gotten down that far to find all the fish. And they live down there in abundance with everything they need for life. So too Klal Yisrael, in the dry land up here in this world, we should live with that same fruitful life as fish. We should be concealed from others watching us. We should be left at peace on our own. And we should be able to enjoy Hashem's blessings. So that's the Bracha Vidgula Rov. Ephraim is somebody who represents that. And we daven for water in Tishrei. We see the shevet that represents this abundance that goes along with water really is Ephraim. The most famous person from Ephraim is Yeshua ben Nun. Nun means fish in Aramaic. So his name is Yeshua ben Nun. In Aramaic, Nune Yama, or the fish of the sea. So Yeshua is actually the son of the fish, if you'll put it that way. And he's Ephraim's most famous person, to my knowledge. That's Yeshua. Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. The Zohar calls Talmid Chachamim also Nune Yama, fish of the sea. And the question is, why would you call Talmid Chacham a fish? It sounds like an insult, not a praise. But it's explained that, you know, Torah is compared to water. And the Talmud Chacham is always immersed in Torah. And therefore he's like a fish. Very, very, very reminiscent of the famous mashal of Rabbi Akiva, which we've all heard before, but let's repeat it. You know, there was the fox on the surface on the bank, and the fish is swimming in the water, and the fish was trying to dodge all the fishermen's nets. And the fox says, "Come out here with me on the dry land, you'll be safe." And the fish says, "Well, in here, I might live or I might not live. Up there, I'm for sure dead." So Rabbi Akiva says that's a mashal for Klal Yisrael and Torah. With Torah, there's dangers. Without Torah, we're for sure dead. So we know that Torah is compared to the water, we're compared to the fish. So Talmud Chacham is somebody who is totally immersed in Torah. He's somebody who is able to live in that water and the brachos of Hashem constantly and thrive on it. Yehoshua ben Nun is somebody who represents a fish, because we know that he was lo yamish toch oil. He never left the ohel, the Beis Medrash. He was Moshe's faithful servant. He never left the Beis Medrash ever. He was always there. He was constantly immersed. He was constantly involved in the water, in the Torah. So the water we're davening for now in Tishrei is not just the physical abundance, not just that we want Hashem to rain on our crops. That's obviously a big part of it. We want the water of Torah. We want the water of Hashem's blessings. We want to have that spiritual water as well. We want to be like Ephraim, who represents to us the idea of the fish. We want to be totally enveloped and totally immersed in Hashem's great blessings and Hashem's water. We want to be fruitful like Ephraim is fruitful. We want to be like Yeshua ben Nun, who's totally involved in Torah at all times. That's what we're asking for. We're looking forward to this point, to total immersion in Hashem's brachos. So Ephraim, who's the Sheva compared to fish, he's the one who's totally attuned to this fruitfulness, this productivity that comes along with the water. So he's the Sheva of Tishrei. Yeah.
What is the water that's used when they're making matzah? They talk about drawing water, and it's special water for making matzah.
Well, there they just try to draw very cool water, and they leave it overnight to settle. Mayim Shelanu, it's called. Beyond that, I'm not sure anything else. They try to find it from like a cooler source, and then they leave it overnight. That's the water they use.
So it's none of the water that you're talking about.
No, it's different water than this. Yeah, not this water. It could be there's related in some deeper way, I don't know, but they take it from regular sources.
You know, you always read in Mishpacha that you see.
Yes, they'll go to special wells, right, and then they'll draw the water. I mean, it's a big ceremony, they do this, right. It's a special thing, but it's not any special, it's just regular water. I mean, it's just, you can't take tap water because we're concerned that maybe it's a little too warm, it's going to cause the matzah to become chametz, so we always take water from a well or from a cooler source, and we leave it overnight to just settle and be cool, and then we use it. But it's not any special water, to my knowledge. So as Tishrei closes, and then we're beginning a brand new cycle now. The new cycle is seen through the rain in the Geshem. It's the new Hashpah for the coming year. Tavshinayim Tes. It's the physical Hashpah, it's the spiritual Hashpah. It's everything for the coming year is coming out now in Tishrei. We all work very, very hard over Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to daven to Hashem for a year of bracha. We went through Sukkot, we're judged upon the water. Hoshana Rabbah is the finale of Sukkot before Shmi Yetzirah. So Hoshana Rabbah finishes Sukkot. And Hoshana Rabbah, what comes to the forefront is the Aravos. You know, in Shul, we take Aravos to Hoshana Rabbah. And in the Beis Hamikdash, Hoshana Rabbah, they would circle with the Aravos, not with the Lulav. They would use the Aravos. The Aravos are Arvei Nachal. You know, they grow by the river. That's the Aravos love water. And if you grow Aravos, they love water. They will eat into pipes to find water. Aravos are water seekers. And they are the perfect plant for the day where we're judged upon water, because they is the plant which really thrives upon water. So the finale of Sukkot is all about Aravos, which is about water. The finale of Yom Nerayim is Shemini Atzeres, with Tefillas Geshem. And we walk away from Tishrei. If you want to say, what's one takeaway? Hopefully we've done lots of tshuva and we've done all sorts of amazing things the past few weeks. But all of us have left with the phrase, Mashiach Ruach Merde Geshem. We definitely have that. Because now we're davening to Hashem, let us have all that water of blessing throughout the whole year. This is our takeaway. Tishrei, I would suggest, again, means to Hashem, soak us in your water. You know, Tishrei, you should soak us, Shora. With the Mayim Chaim and the Bracha. The Yemosah B'Gashamim giving now. The Gemara divides the year into two parts. You have Yemosah Chama, Yemosah Gashamim. There's the sunny days, there's the rainy days. Sunny days are until now, and the rainy days begin right now. This is the rainy days. So we can think about rainy days as, oh, it's wet and it's cold. But we have to realize that rain is life, the water is life. In Eretz Yisrael especially, water is, at this point in the year, is essential. If they don't, it doesn't rain now in Eretz Yisrael, they're in big trouble. The next few weeks is the time they need some rain. If not, that's when we start a process of tefillos and even fasting sometimes, because the rain is essential in Eretz Yisrael at this point in the year. In our minds, this represents everything we've been looking forward to over the Yom Nerayim. We want Hashem's blessings in our life. We want Hashem to give us bracha. We want to have life. We want to have ruchnias. We want to be able to grow in Torah and in midos and in serving Hashem properly. And how do we do that? So the water is the model. The water which comes down is the model for all of this. And if we can just see Hashem bringing the water down as a sign of bracha, we know that we've accomplished and we've done our job during Yom Nerayim. To us, this is like our physical sign. Hashem, you know, we've done our part, please do your part as well and bring down everything that we're supposed to have for the coming year. So that's where that's how I would look at the two parts of Tishrei. The first half of Tishrei is kind of concluding last year, and the second half is beginning next year. Last year's produce, last year's rain is finished. This year's rain begins. And the rainy season is a tough time sometimes because it's cold and it's dark. On the other hand, this is where we see the rain is what gives us our food, it gives us our produce, it gives us our life. And when we see that, we see Hashem's brachos coming into our life.